Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
When crisis strikes, many of us rely on relatives and our church family for support. But for some parents, there isn't a safety net. On today's program, we're going to introduce you to a ministry that stands in the gap. It is a wonderful organization. I'm excited to have David Anderson back with us, as we'll introduce him here in a little bit. But consider this statistic. Each year, state welfare emergency hotlines receive more than 5 million calls asking for intervention. But of those, only 1 million meet the criteria for receiving help. What happens to the other 4 million families in crisis? That's what we'll talk about today on Connecting Faith. You know, in Minnesota, we are aware of a tragic death of a 5-year-old, Elena Ertl, this past weekend when she was abducted by a family friend. I was looking at an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune about it. It says, Elena lived a carefree life of a 5-year-old in a small central Minnesota town. She swung a hula hoop around her small frame and rode a bicycle on city sidewalks outside her house. Lainey, as her family members called her, was a giggling, sometimes silly girl who loved to wear skirts and jewelry, a relative said, but also loved to play with her older brother on the go-kart-type cars that her father built. It's unfathomable to people in this stoplight-free town of fewer than 1,000 residents that the girl could end up the victim of a homicide. And even more unfathomable that the accused perpetrator is a man her family considered a friend, a man who many in town came to recognize as he spent Friday nights this summer playing softball on Elena's dad's team. And someone locally had just summed it up well. It says, everybody just wants to know why. Elena could have used a safe home. I mean, every child deserves a safe home. That is one of the premises of our conversation today. And I just want to encourage you as you listen in to think about how you might have a part to play in this. We're going to introduce David Anderson in a minute. But as we do each day, we bring you some insights and updates from John Stone Street. And today, John Stone Street on the Point reports on some new research just released that, well, changes the narrative in the culture. Listen in.
The media settled, but not the science. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Media outlets love to tell us science is settled about sexual orientation and gender identity. But science is never settled. New questions, experiments, and discoveries keep science unsettled. And these days, sexual ideology is leading, not following science. Just yesterday, a new report in the New Atlantis, co-authored by leading scholars and based on over 200 peer-reviewed studies, was released that questions many things proclaimed to be settled science. For example, evidence doesn't support biological causes for homosexuality or transgenderism. The born this way idea is not science. Second, most children grow out of questioning gender identity, so the current push to delay puberty in these cases is not supported by science. And finally, discrimination cannot account for the high rates of mental health problems experienced by non-heterosexual and transgender people. And there's more, but don't take my word. Listen to the experts. Come to breakpoint.org to see the report. I'm John Stone Street.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. It's 8 past the hour, and I want to introduce my guest today, David Anderson. Dr. David Anderson is a child clinical psychologist, executive director of Lydia Home and Safe Families for Children. He received his doctorate degree from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Safe Families for Children is a national movement of compassion that gives hope to families in crisis. Safe, loving homes are provided where parents may voluntarily have their children cared for while parents seek to restore stability in their lives. It was founded in 2002, and it has partnered with churches, local community agencies, volunteer families, as well as government organizations in more than a dozen states. And David's just telling me now they have 108 chapters around the nation and have hosted more than, 28,000 arrangements since the program started. David Anderson, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Good, Neil. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, we just love this ministry. It just seems so so needed, and maybe you can just explain why. In fact, I know it started for you, right, as a letter to then-Chicago Mayor Daley. Give us just a little background history.
Well, you know, like the story you started with, those are tragic stories, and there's so many more that don't hit the newspaper. And, you know, I was working at a place where I was exposed to all these kids that were in difficult situations. And our states are set up to wait for kids to be harmed, like foster care and child welfare systems. They have to wait for kids to be harmed before they're willing to step in. And the story you started is like it's too late in some of those situations. And so I started to think about how we could, as a church, could intervene before these bad things happen. Some said, instead of pulling them out of the river, go upstream and find out where they're being thrown in and try and stop it that way. And so I came up with this idea. It's clearly, in my mind, the Lord gave it to me about how could we find hundreds of people to open up their homes, really to live out hospitality. And I wrote a letter to Mayor Daley. I've never done this before. And I said, I have this idea. I think we could find hundreds of Christians to do this. And he actually responded. And it was really shocking to me. And that's really how we got started with Safe Families.
David, tell me why do we wait for kids to be harmed? I mean, how is the system set up so that, kids are vulnerable, kids are put in this kind of situation?
Well, I mean, I think there's some good reasons why, because, you know, maybe the government shouldn't intervene too quickly in the privacy of families' lives, right? You don't want that to happen too frequently, too much, too prematurely. You know, I think they only should intervene when kids are at risk. And so they try to wait as much as possible, but that then leaves these situations for kids who are in there and aren't, like you said, you know, there's 5 million kids that are called into the hotline, but 1 million, which is probably even high, is not even, the government doesn't even intervene there. And so, it's costly as a taxpayer. And in Illinois, for example, if a child goes into foster care, it's probably, $30,000, you know. So it's very costly and intrusive for the government to step in live. So I think they wait as long as they can. And I think our role as a church is we don't have those requirements. We don't have to wait. We can step in. We could support. We don't need, for bad things to happen before we can help. And I think that's the beauty of what we're trying to build here throughout the country.
Well, maybe just say a bit more about, what are we talking about in terms of families in crisis? Kind of give us if there's a typical situation where Safe Families for Children can really shine and make an impact.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about that over really the last, 13 years since we've been doing it. And I have this saying, that if we really are, for life and pro-life and we really value life, I have this saying that we should help any child for any reason that a parent has, that what drives us to act isn't, are they worthy? Is a parent worthy of us helping them? It's this idea that, kids are valuable and we should help and we should step up when we can. So the most common reason is really something like around homelessness and where a family is struggling with housing, and not necessarily their fault. Maybe their funding got their housing got taken away or something like that. And so majority of our kids, for whatever reason, are under the age of 6. I don't really understand that, but a lot of it is just little kids where their families are just struggling. Maybe can't pay rent and find themselves in a difficult situation.
And then, so Safe Families for Children, let's talk about, you've got sort of three objectives. Maybe summarize those and then say what happens when you get a call or you get an opportunity to serve in this way.
Yeah, I think our three objectives, at least when we started, was let's prevent harm to children. So it's prevention of child abuse. Let's once a child is harmed, in a physical or sexual way or whatever, many times their bodies can recover. It's amazing how the Lord has created their little bodies to recover from a broken bone or whatever. So their bodies do recover, but often the scars of the event carries throughout their lives, and it's hard to let that go. So the idea is if we can avoid that, if we can intervene before that, that's a good thing. So preventing child abuse, deflecting kids from the foster care system. I mean, I used to be a foster parent, and they're great foster parents. The system, often gets bad rap, and, you know, you hear about kids bouncing around from home to home, or when kids age out of foster care, they're the ones that end up getting into human trafficking. So the foster care system often has its own trauma and dilemma, and it needs the help of the church, right? Good foster parents. But if we can keep kids out of foster care, that's a good thing, you know. And so that's what we try to do. We try to prevent abuse, keep kids out of foster care. And then the third is we just want to support families that are, they might not be at the brink of harming their kid, but they're trying to raise their child by themselves, and they have no one else to turn to. And often things might go bad if you're trying to do it by yourself and you have these pressures on your life, and you know, that might result you to be short with your kid. And I know when my wife was gone for a week, I was home alone with my kids, and by the end of the week, it was not a pretty sight. So I could see the stresses that people are trying to do this by themselves. And then they have some of these families, they just need that level of support, someone to come alongside of them.
And does the family initiate this call, this opportunity for, I guess, intervention, if you will, or support, or how does that happen?
Yeah, you know, it comes from, you know, throughout, you have a massive network of states where you're working, and we're probably in all those areas. And it comes from all, you know, parents self-call. If they hear about us, they can call and say, hey, I just need some help. Often someone calls on their behalf, like maybe a worker or you know, the foster care system, child protection might call and say, hey, we're thinking of custody of these kids, but if you can help this mom out and provide them a safe place, we won't need to take custody. So we get those situations. And, you know, if a parent needs to go into the hospital and there's no one to watch their kids, sometimes the hospital will call on their behalf. And so it really is this massive, broad range. We'll take really any family from any whoever calls in order to help them out. So,
David Anderson, my guest today, Dr. David Anderson, is the founder of Safe Families for Children, because every child deserves a safe home. We're going to tell you about, for those in the Minnesota area, there is a event coming up here in October, a gala that will tell you more about it, and we'll give you web addresses and the like as well. It may be that you have been involved in Safe Families for Children, because they are growing around the nation. Over 108 chapters now, where there have had opportunities to impact some 28,000 families, and we're going to hear more about those, some more stories. We'd welcome you to join the conversation. If you have a comment or a question about getting involved, or maybe just want to kind of give a testimony of how it's made a difference in your life and family, you can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Dr. David Anderson in a moment as we talk Safe Families for Children.
When love takes you in, everything changes. A miracle starts with the beat of a heart, and this love will never let you go. There is not this love to lose its hope.
Well, love takes you in. We're talking about Safe Families for Children. It's a wonderful organization that has now spread globally, Canada and UK, across the United States, chapters all over, thousands of volunteers, hundreds of volunteer host families. They've had over 28,000 hosting arrangements since it began here about 12, 13 years ago. David Anderson, Dr. David Anderson, who is a child clinical psychologist, who's the founder of Safe Families for Children. And David, say a little bit about what happens when a child, as you said, mostly seems like under age six, when a child is taken into a safe family. What does that do for that child? How does that make an impact?
You know, it's really interesting. There's a lot of people that are studying things like this now for safe families and different outside groups that are like, hey, we want to study why people do this and why they open up their home. We want to study what happens when kids go into homes. And what we find is, and I could just speak to my own experience of taking kids in myself, and we have a little five-year-old boy with us now, is, you know, it is hard. It is a hard transition for a little boy to leave their mom or to leave their dad and to go into a new setting with strangers. And some kids, you know, have a hard time with that. Most kids do, I think. And if they didn't, that would mean something else, you know. So there is this period of transition that it's hard. It's amazing, though, how quickly kids get over that. I just think about my own kids. If they were to go with a stranger and stay with them, it would take them a little bit to warm up. And I would just pray that that stranger is very patient and kind to them and things. So it takes them a little bit time to warm up. But then there's this fascinating thing happens. As kids get into this safe and stable environment and where there's predictability and there's comfort and routines and things like that, there's a couple things that happen that are really intriguing. One is that kids make changes very quickly, and kids adapt very quickly and make significant progress. There's some research on even the neural development of kids being in stable homes, babies being in stable homes away from stressful environments, and how their neurons develop and their skills, they begin to learn skills. So we see kids who might be a little bit delayed because maybe their parents are under stress and they haven't had the time or energy to teach or help kids. So we see kids make significant progress around development, maybe talking or walking or things like that. We see these really cool things around health. There have been so many kids who've come to my family where we realize after a period of time, hey, that little guy is breathing hard. And so we'll bring him to the doctor, and sure enough, it's undiagnosed asthma. And then we get to send him back to mom in a much better place, maybe with medicine and a treatment plan or their kids developing. And we see kids even academically who school age, they'll go into a school and the school realize that, hey, there's some learning problems. Let's put them on a learning plan, and then that gets to follow a child. So we see these kids develop, you know, academically, spiritually, intellectually, physically, and then the exposure to, you know, my wife and I take kids to church, and we pray with them at night, and they go to Sunday school with us, and they sit and hold hands around dinner, and we thank the Lord for the food, and they get this spiritual exposure.
Oh, we had a drop off there apparently. So, and we want to pick up more of that story because that is fascinating. Let me just while we're getting David reconnected with us here, let me just mention you can go to for those in the Minnesota safefamiliesmn.org, safefamiliesmn.org. If you just want to go there, and you can find out where there are some safe families chapters in your area as well, if they have nationwide, as we mentioned. So check that out, safefamiliesmn.org. We'll tell you a little bit about an event coming up here in October as well. David, you're talking about there's amazing ways that kids make progress, health and academics, and even, you know, sharing the gospel and the church. Just say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone who does this is a faith, and they do this because of their faith. And actually, I started studying why would people of faith want to do this? And it's really driven by this hospitality and compassion and just this capacity to give. And then when the kids are exposed to that, they go to church and they get exposed to all of that. A number of kids make, either the older kids make decisions that, it plants seeds in kids' lives, and that's why a lot of us do this, is a spiritual development. And I think that, you know, the other key thing is the relationship that we have with the parent and the spiritual development, the opportunity to speak into the lives of parents and to share with them why we serve in such a dramatic way.
Speaking of parents, is this often a single parents? Because we know that fatherlessness is a big issue, or is that not necessarily the case?
Yeah, you know, when we look at it, it's almost always a single parent. It's rarely two parents. And I think that not sure why I think single parents probably don't have the support that they need in order to care for their kids, but it's mostly single parents and kids who find themselves in need.
And I was just curious to know, what's the average length of time? So is this like a kind of a foster arrangement where it could be months, or what typically happens?
You know, when we look at 8,000 placements, the average is probably 6 weeks. And we don't have any requirement. It could be a day or two. It could be a longer. But when we look at all of them, it's average of 6 weeks. So this is a cool way for people to get involved. It's not a, you know, long-term commitment. It's often a short-term, you know, can you help this child get, you know, he's sleeping in a car with mom. Can he sleep in your home for a couple of weeks till mom? So it's a shorter term ask. It's an opportunity to make a big difference in a short period of time that we look for families are willing to open up their homes.
You know, you said a little bit about what happens when these kids get into these loving homes, a safe family, and make progress. But there's, I guess, the other side. Talk about what happens when a child gets into Child Protective Services and maybe where that cycle leads. And we only have a minute or so before we take a break, but at least maybe get started on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they're lucky, they get into a good foster home. There's a lot of Christians at foster care, and they certainly need more of those. And if they get into a good Christian home, then you know, they good things can happen, you know. But not all homes are great. And once they get into those situations, often kids get bounced around from home to home, and it has a lot of its own negative consequences itself.
Right. Well, when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what are the qualifications for a safe family, and I'll get David to just share maybe even more from his own experience about what it means to do this and the impact it has on your children or your spouse or maybe even on the church that you are a part of, and how we could really be a part of transforming a community in this way. We're talking with Dr. David Anderson, who's the founder of Safe Families for Children. It is a national movement of compassion that gives hope to families in crisis. You want to join the conversation, maybe share your story, or you have a specific question that kind of been prompted from our discussion, we'd love to have you join in at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient, you want to just shoot us a note, you can send us an email. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. And we can connect with you that way at myfaithradio.com on the Connecting Faith show page, or call 877-93-FAITH. More with Dr. David Anderson, founder of Safe Families for Children, coming up in just a moment. Talking safe families today. Every child deserves a safe family. And David Anderson created Safe Families for Children to provide a safety net for parents in crisis. It's a voluntary alternative to the child welfare system. Safe Families temporarily places children with loving families, freeing their parents to address issues such as unemployment, drug or alcohol, rehabilitation, family violence, illness, incarceration. And it's a great opportunity. And David, I want to just have you say a little bit about are there qualifications, specific things you're looking for in a host family? And I know there are other things besides host families that play an important part as well.
Yeah. You know, obviously, if we call it safe families, we want people to be safe. So we do vet and might interview a family, come out and check out your home and do a background check. And so we want that. We want safe places. We two-parent families are great, and people of faith are what is attracted to this. People do this because of their faith, because they're following Christ, and because of, I do it because it gives me an opportunity to role model to my children. There are some other positive effects other than we're just helping some. There are some really positive effects to the family itself, and that's why my wife and I continue to do this, is because it's good for us as a family. It unleashes our family to serve in a way that God has created us to serve, and it gives me an opportunity to really live out my faith with my children together and to role model to my kids that, you know, being a follower of Christ isn't something you do on a Sunday or only when you go to Haiti once a week, you know, 1 week a summer, but it's something you do every single day, and that's why many of us who open our homes do so.
David, say a little bit more about your family. How have your kids responded? Do they lead the way, or do they kind of just follow along reluctantly?
It's funny. I don't know if I should even admit this, but my kids love it, and I think part of it is that they get it maybe more than I do, right? They get it that, you know, if their parents were homeless, boy, they would want to be in a safe place, and so they get it. There have been many times when I'll get a call and I'll say, I was on a call once and it was a two-year-old who needed a place to stay, and one of my staff said, we can't find a home, you know, can you take them in? And I said, no, man, grandma's with us now, and my nephew's with us, and our nest is full. And one time my son overheard me, he was 13. He said, Daddy, what are you talking about? And I was like, Nathan, my son, our nest, grandma's here. We got a two-year-old. They have to go into the state, and we can't help them. And he's like, well, what about our family? I'm like, Nathan, as dad here, put my foot down. As dad, our nest is full, And he was just, it's almost like, it's just cool to see this in our kids. I think that godly passion and conviction to live, and they're like, no, things are simpler for them. No, we have room. We could sleep here, and I'll help. And so there have been a number of those situations where, in my mind as the dad, I found all the reasons why we shouldn't do this. But then it was my kids who actually, convinced us, and never have I regretted that.
Hmm. I know that the host families are important and vital, and you've had some 28,000 arrangements or placements. So those are lives that have been changed. I'm sure this does something too. If you have maybe more than one family in your church or even in your community that's doing this, that we could actually see changes take place in a community.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to really start this is I had this passion this belief that as Christians, if we all live out, the gospel and actually do what it tells us, that society should be a different place, that we should see the impact. And I think it's needed more so now than ever with all this anger and all this tension that is prevalent throughout society. We need to be lights with a different message of compassion and welcome and hospitality. And we see child abuse rates dropping. We see fewer kids entering foster care because they're being helped prior to that. It saves government a lot of money. If we keep one kid out of foster care in Illinois, it saves us $30,000. One kid. Last year we helped 1,000 kids, So you're talking about a lot of money. So there is that cost savings to it, but more importantly, it's that we get to seed society and be a light and a demonstration of kindness and generosity and welcoming and people into our home. That is such a needed message, particularly now in our society.
I know there's people listening say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to be a host family, but there are other places, other ways they can be involved too, right?
Yeah, they can. If I've I spoke at a church, and one guy said, well, I can't take anyone in my home. I'm like, okay, you could be what we call a family friend, and you could mentor and come alongside a mom or a dad or kind of support the host family in some way. And then he said, well, I don't really like people either. And I said, okay, well, then you could be a resource friend. Maybe you have a mattress, or you can help find a mattress for a mom who doesn't have a mattress. And so we have these roles of they can host, they can be a family friend or mentor and come alongside people, or a resource friend that can, you know, has things or can get things, you know, for families, or a family coach, which is someone who's willing to actually come alongside a mom and coach them to be the mom that their kids desperately want them to be.
How do you get along with agencies like Child Protective Services and things? I mean, because obviously you're working pretty closely with the folks that are there in the middle of things. And any advice that you'd give?
You know, they, in many areas, absolutely love us. I know up there in Minneapolis and that whole region and states up there, they love us because they realize they can't do it alone. You know, it was never meant for the state to be the only people to help families. And so we have a great partnership here. In fact, our Child Protection Services, they're doing research. They're randomly assigning kids to safe families versus foster care, and they're studying who does it better. That's a perfect question you can pray about, is that, you know, we're being studied. Who is the church better than the state, or are we effective? Are we more effective? You know, and that has always been a dream, because I've always wanted to prove that that is the case. And now we have an opportunity to do that. And so we have a great relationship in most areas. Some see us as maybe a competitor, but rarely does that occur. It's usually, please help us, come alongside of us, and help us out to help these families out.
And as you said, there's a variety of issues. So do you get involved in trying to maybe help if it's a homeless situation or unemployment, or maybe there's some addiction things? Do you step in there?
Yeah, we get that. You know, I mean, it's interesting. Child welfare or foster care was built for physically abused kids 60, 70 years ago, 80 years ago. It was designed for kids who were physically harmed. And then they started adding kids that were sexually harmed. And then they added this thing called neglect, where kids aren't being cared for appropriately. Now, 70% of kids who go into foster care go in because of neglect. And so that's who we're targeting. If a child is physically harmed, or, you know, they need to go into foster care, and that, so we're not going to replace it. But it's this gray area of neglect where parents are struggling, maybe depression, maybe substance abuse, maybe, you know, something is distracting them from being the mom or the dad that their kids want them to be. And so that's kind of the group that we feel like we're best equipped to target when we partner with CPS and stuff.
Well, and I'm assuming the parents are appreciate that they don't have to fear losing custody as well, right, through this situation.
Oh, they don't have to fear losing custody. They still have a voice. You know, when you go into foster care, you don't have a voice. You have to go before a judge and really be humiliated to prove why the government should take custody, why you're incompetent. So you have to go and sit and hear why you're an incompetent parent, and for the government to justify taking the child away from your away from you. Safe families, none of that occurs. And I think it helps to redeem parents quicker and give a parent a voice and decision making and all those things that are so important for parents to get on their feet quicker.
What's your dream? I mean, did you imagine, you know, 13 years ago when this got started, it would be where it is today? But now that you've seen it grow, what's your hope and your prayer?
You know, it's funny. I'm a son of a bricklayer. I know how to lay brick. I don't know how to do anything else. And so this is all the Lord, and I can't really take any credit for it. The Lord is just it's just incredible. And I think it's this spirit of hospitality and generosity that is, I think, flowing through the church. My dream is the church will return to its rightful place as as a beacon of light for the most vulnerable group in our society, that when people see kids that are in a vulnerable situation or families, they'll first think of the church. How can I get help from the church? That's my goal. And then the church will regain its voice in our society as really having a significant role in the fabric of safety and protection of the most vulnerable in church. And so I'd love for it to glow. I personally also believe in the power of the family, an unleashed family. And I think that families need people to come alongside of them and to help them. And even Christian families need that. And so that's why I serve in that way.
David Anderson is he's a child clinical psychologist, executive director of Liddy Home, and the founder of Safe Families for Children. For those in the Minnesota area, there's a gala coming up October 7th, and you can find out more at safefamiliesmn.org, safefamiliesmn.org. And in fact, if you just put that web address in, you'll be able to get linked to a Safe Families chapter near you. And as you mentioned, David, what, 108 around the globe now?
Yeah, 108 in the U.S. We have dozens in the UK, and it's exciting.
Thank you for what you're doing. God bless you, and may you continue to get more and more volunteers that stand in the gap for these kids so that they can experience a safe family as well.
Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate your interest in safe families and your care for really the vulnerable. So thanks for allowing me to be here.
Dr. David Anderson joined us today. Safe Families for Children. I thought we'd play a song that just kind of reminds us that our ultimate safety is found in the Lord. And when we come back, we'll hear from someone who has been a volunteer host family and get her perspective. That's all ahead here on Connecting Faith. Talking Safe Families for Children today. Glad to connect once again with Dr. David Anderson. Really appreciate that ministry. We're going to hear from someone who has been involved as a host family here in just a moment. But first, we always like to do some takeaways. And so Carissa and Paul Perot sitting in for Ted today. Carissa, what are you applying from today's conversation?
When David was asking, you know, what's our role as the body of Christ in protecting children from harm? That just really hit home with me, and it just made me realize that, you know, as Christ followers, we are to show compassion and to walk with our arms wide open and just ready to just be meet the need. And there is definitely a need, and my heart just breaks for these children that are in vulnerable situations, and to know that we can be a part of redeeming the family by just intervening and providing a safe home, even if it's just for a few days.
Good word.
For me, though, I've been reading Gabe Lyon's book, one of his books, The New Christian, Next Christians, I think it is, and it's just amazing. Here is putting that restorative practice, engaging in doing it, engaging in actually helping people in need and offering them a path forward, especially those families that are not yet in full crisis, be preemptive and be that helping hand.
And would it be great, he said, if they think of the church first, and could we get to that place where even in spite of maybe cultural limitations, we can still be the hands and feet of Jesus in powerful ways. So good conversation today. We did want to just bring a viewpoint of someone who has actually been doing it. And so let's bring in our guest right now. Well, Karen, welcome to Connecting Faith. I understand that you, your family is involved as one of the volunteer families for Safe Families for Children. So maybe a little background. What prompted you to get involved in the first place?
Yeah, well, the story goes back actually to about 3.5 years ago. My husband, Jeff, and I actually felt led to adopt a specific child in Haiti, and we tried to navigate that process for about 2.5 years and eventually learned about a year ago now that it was not legally possible to adopt this child. And, you know, that was really difficult news to hear. And at the same time, my husband and I, like the feeling that we were having that we were supposed to have more little ones in our home, like that hadn't left despite receiving the news that we wouldn't be able to adopt. And so we just started praying about and looking into what that might look like. And at the same time, some friends of ours were becoming more involved with the foster care system. And we began becoming more aware of the great need for foster families and started digging into that. And then through a conversation with a friend, she said, "Hey, have you checked out Safe Families?" And I had never heard of it before, but thought we would check it out. And when we did, immediately, we loved the mission and the purpose of Safe Families, specifically to try and reignite the church and those of us who follow Jesus, to have the church, his people, be the ones that are reaching out and caring for our neighbors. You know, and we're really thankful for the government systems that we have in place, but we just feel like the church should be the ones responding first to these needs. And, you know, and one thing we love about Safe Families is that they really encourage us to talk about our hope in Jesus with the children as much as we can, and also with the mamas that we're helping support.
Well, talk a little bit about you. You have, I think, a couple of children, right? And so how how has that maybe impacted your family? What's impacted you the most?
Yeah. Well, man, it's been fantastic. So we have three children, ages 14, 11, and 9. And even prior to all this, we have been looking for ways that we can really serve together as a family. And that is really difficult to do, and, you know, to be able to serve in a relational way with people. And that was another thing that we thought was just fantastic about this opportunity, was that this provides an amazing way for us to work together as a family, to rally around these little ones that are in our home. And our kids really are the best at providing, just playing with these little ones that come into our home, and also making them feel comfortable right away. And together as a family, we're able to learn about the situations that these kids are coming from, the situations that the moms have experienced, and we're able together as a family to pray for them and just try and come alongside the kids and the moms. And it's been a fantastic thing to do as a family.
Karen, what I know you've become an evangelist for safe families, and we need more. And I know that you know your church is getting involved, which is exciting mm-hmm. as well. But what would you say to others that haven't even considered being a part of this? Why should they consider coming on board?
Wow. Well, anyone who has, you know, raised kids before knows that we rely on many other people to help us with our kids. For us, we are lucky enough to have a support system of, you know, the grandparents, friends, and neighbors, and we rely on those people all the time. And that is like an amazing thing that we have, that we are realizing that not everybody has. And sometimes, yes, it's through decisions of their own, but oftentimes, you know, it's not. And we have the opportunity as people who love Jesus to reach out and care for these kids and these moms in this time of their crisis. And so we just can't say enough for these moms who are in these times of crisis. They are working hard. They just need a little help, just like we have in many different times. And so to be able to be that safety net for them is a wonderful opportunity for us.
Well, Karen, thanks for sharing your heart, you and your family, and for sharing with us today and encouraging others. It's great to hear from one who is in there doing it and making a difference, and we appreciate you. Thanks so much for calling and checking in today.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Karen and Jeff and their family are involved in Safe Families for Children, and I hope that you are encouraged by the conversation today. We got a great conversation coming up tomorrow. We'll tell you about that in just a minute.
So, what motivates you to share Christ's love with the people you meet? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. Crew's Nancy Wilson illustrates what she's come to realize.
I think my own story has gripped me with the idea of not thinking people have it together and they don't need him, because I put up such a great, you know, outward image.
Although she was popular, no one knew the emptiness she felt inside.
I was the one, you know, voted the most popular girl in my school, but I was the one who was so lost and so empty and cried myself to sleep. People will not always appear lost, but we know that they are made for Jesus. And so I think that knowledge really propels me to want to keep reaching out.
Why not share with someone today what God has done for you?
Always encouragement from Steve Douglas. And as we wrap up the program, and you mentioned about sharing what God has done for you, I wanted to remind you that our fall share, our fundraiser, is coming up here in just 3 weeks. And we would just be so honored to know that you are standing with us. Many have done so faithfully over the years, but maybe you are new to Faith Radio. You can find out more about this ministry by going to our website, myfaithradio.com. In fact, we've got a welcome gift to give you if you're just tuning in or just finding us. It gives you all the information about Faith Radio and encouraging content that you can use as well. So check it out, myfaithradio.com, to request your free welcome gift today. Or maybe you want to listen on the Faith Radio app, if that's more convenient. You can download that, get all the great programming you love, listen to the live stream, access the shows you missed, read the newest articles, discover new opportunities to connect. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play, the Faith Radio Network app. All right, tomorrow we're going to talk prayer, and we'll have a powerful conversation because our own Susie Larson, host of Live the Promise, who's also a speaker and best-selling author, will be in studio to talk with us today about her new book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. We're going to learn how to experience God's presence and His promises and see transformation in our prayer life with Live the Promise host Susie Larson. Really looking forward to that conversation tomorrow. Hope that you can be with us then. If you missed part of today's show, you can also catch it again anytime. We post the interviews online at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.